Okay. All right, if you'll open your Bibles to Psalm 118, going to look at a phenomenal psalm tonight. I'm sorry that I'm just doing it one night on it. I'd love to do about 3 or 4 hours on this beautiful psalm, and we'll see why as we go through, but let's first of all begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is our custom here in this country to set aside a weekend for Thanksgiving for the founding of this country. But Heavenly Father, it is our attitude to be in Thanksgiving every day of our lives for all of your grace blessings that you bestow upon us. And Father, we are thankful for this country. We are thankful for the freedom we have, and we're thankful for the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. Pray now, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see in this wonderful psalm. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, Psalm 117 is the shortest psalm and the shortest chapter of the Bible. The longest psalm is 119. But let's just read 117 in passing. Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud him, all peoples. For his love is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. That's Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now we come to Psalm 118. It is the center chapter of the Bible. There are 594 chapters before Psalm 118. There are 594 chapters after Psalm 118. It is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. It's also a messianic psalm. Now, what a messianic psalm means is that it deals with the Messiah when he comes. Let me just show you, just have fun. I want you to feel this verse, this psalm. It is so phenomenal. The things that are in it. For an example, the thanksgiving is in verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love is everlasting. Verse 21, I shall give thanks to thee, for thou hast answered me, and thou hast become my salvation, or my deliverance. Verse 28, Thou art my God, and I shall give thanks to thee. Thou art my God, I extol thee. Verse 29, Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love is everlasting. Now, there are powerful verses. One that you probably have quoted somewhere in your life, if nothing more for humor reasons. So I just want to, as I said, I want you to just kind of be familiar with this great psalm. So I want you to look at some verses with me. Look at we've already looked at verse 1. I'd get a look at verse 5. From my distress, I call upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Boy, when we see what that means, it's going to be beautiful. Verse 6. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What man can do to me? What can man do to me? That's a familiar verse. Look at verse 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. That is the center of the Bible. That is the center verse of the whole Bible. And how befitting. How befitting. Verse 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Verse 9, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Look at verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my song. Well, whenever you get really down, you have nothing to sing about. Here's something to sing about. He has become my salvation, my deliverance. Verse 15. The sound of joyful shouting. Now, verse 14, he's my song. But when I sing, it sounds like shouting, so verse 15 fits for me. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does violently. Now look at verse 21. Verse 21 through 24. Actually, verse 21 through several verses. I shall give thanks to thee, for thou hast answered me, and thou hast become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected, he has become the chief cornerstone. You've heard that? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in his eyes. Look at verse 24. Here's a verse that probably we've all said somewhere, if nothing more than just in joking. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Verse 24 of this great psalm. Verse 25. O Lord, do deliver, we beseech thee. O Lord, we beseech thee. Do send prosperity. And when you see what that means, boy, it's going to be phenomenal. Verse 26. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, who's that said of? That's said of Jesus Christ in the triumphal entry. Remember? This is one of the things they sang. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I give thanks to thee. Thou art my God, I extol thee. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love is everlasting. Okay. Now we'll work our way through these verses, see them in context of Psalm 118. But I just want you to kind of see the greatness of this psalm. There's so many phenomenal things. Part of the song they sang when the triumphal entry. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll be glad. What can man do to me? Why should I fear man? So there's just so many wonderful things in this. It has been suggested by some, not me, but I like it, that this psalm records the farewell hymn of Jesus Christ after they left the Passover on the way to Gethsemane. Now, we're studying John 14 and 15 on Wednesday night, so it's befitting that we take a look at this for Thanksgiving Eve. But this is a psalm, and you'll see why. It's so befitting as we read through it that might be the case. The unusual structure of this psalm, I'm not going to follow the way, and if your Bible kind of divides things up by darkening one verse and you read a pair of several verses and then it darkens, this is broken different than in the New American Standard Version. So this is going to be our outline. Thanksgiving to God for His love. Thanksgiving to God for His love. Verses 1 through 7. Now, this is just mine. You don't have to be yours. You do whatever you want. One of the most fun things in seminary was that the profs made us outline so many books and do our own thing and not go to other sources. Just see what flows for you. Secondly, trust in God's provision and plan. Verses 8 through 12. Trust in God's provision and plan. Verses 8 through 12. Then verses 13 through 19, thanksgiving to God for His deliverance. Thanksgiving to God for His deliverance. And then verses 20 through 26, thanksgiving for the rejected and exalted stone. Thanksgiving for the rejected and exalted stone. And then finally verses 27 through 29, eternal praise and thanksgiving. So with that in mind now, let's start looking at this. We don't have a lot of time, but let's see what we can do with this beautiful psalm. I feel like I'm being unjust to it. Okay. Exegeting and interpreting a messianic psalm often confuses a lot of people. Because while there is current application in verses, there is obvious current to the time of its writing. There is always the obvious that it refers to the Messiah. And this is confusing to people. There are people who deny any psalm, any passage in the Old Testament is messianic. But for us, this is just no problem at all. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So Isaiah 53, crucifixion. So we have no problem with all of this. Now, let's look at verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord. So if you Thanksgiving tonight, Thanksgiving tomorrow, Thanksgiving throughout every day of your life, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His love is everlasting. All right, give thanks. This should be an attitude of the function of every believer every day, not just one day a year. This is what we call in the Hebrew a hiphil, H-I-P-H-I-L, a hiphil imperative. And I point that out only to show you the hiphil is causative. Be caused to give thanks is the ideal of the hiphil. We should be caused to give thanks to God. And by the way, you will be caused to give thanks if you walk in the power of God the Holy Spirit. He will lead you to give thanks to God. Give thanks. Without going through a doctrine of thanksgiving, thanks means to acknowledge. It means to acknowledge all that God has done and is doing and will do in your life. It's a mental attitude of thoughtfulness about God. It's a mental attitude of trusting Him even in bad times, as we'll see. Give thanks to the Lord. Okay, give thanks to the Lord. The word Lord, as you see, is capitalized here. This is the tetragrammaton, four letters. So let's take a look. And this is YHWH. YHWH. And that is translated Yahweh. The Hebrew doesn't write the vowels. And when you read a Hebrew Bible, there are no vowels in it. In fact, there's no... for us, they put sentences, periods, and all that. But in true Hebrew, there's not even periods or anything. They just know it so well that they... And I'm talking about any manuscript, but the scriptures. There's no vowels. But this is Yahweh, or J-H-V-H, and that, of course, is Jehovah. So the same word is Yahweh or Jehovah. Without getting involved in all of that, it's the sacred name of God. And it can, and often throughout the Bible, it can refer to any of all three members of the Godhead. It can refer to any of the all three members of the Godhead, and why not? They are one. And they are all our Lord. God the Father is our Lord. We can give thanks for that. Jesus Christ is our Lord. We can give thanks for that. The Holy Spirit is our Lord. We can give thanks for that. Now, in our passage, verse 1, to which does it refer? Well, we have a clue. We have a clue in the first reason for giving thanks. It says, for He is good. Okay. For He is good. Let's see. Let's look at Matthew 19. Well, let me just read it to you. Matthew 19:17. You can look at it sometime. And He said to him, why are you asking me about what or who is good? There is only one who is good, and that's God the Father. This is Jesus Christ speaking. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments, and that is, of course, faith. But there it says only one is good, and that's God the Father. So we have a clue back in Psalm 118, verse 1 now. Only one is good, referring to the Father. Now, the major point here is, what does good refer that we should give thanks? Well, it's associated with His love. So this is, becomes a point. His creation is good. His restoration is good. His salvation is good. His sending of His Son is good. His sending of His Spirit is good. He is good in and of whom what He is. That is the makeup of God. And everything that comes out of Him is good. It is good for Him. And of course, definitely good for us. But it is good. It comes from Him. Okay, the next reason to give thanks, and the one that I, of course, personally love, for His love is everlasting. The New American Standard says His loving kindness. I won't go through why they do that, but His loving kindness is everlasting. His love never fails. And something that we will experience for all eternity is the love of God in that eternal state of Jerusalem. All right, verse 2. Oh, let Israel say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Now, this is particularly important to Israel, who will go through many stages of spiritual bankruptcy, departing from Him, and then recovering and blessing. But even in their worst hour, His love is there. So it becomes important to them. So it says, let Israel say, His love is everlasting. They hate Him. John 14, John 15, John 16, John 14, 15 and 16. They hate Him. But let them say, His love is everlasting. Verse 3. Oh, let the house of Aaron say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Okay, what's important about this? Aaron is the priesthood. It is so important that the priest, and in the church age, the pastor teacher proclaims His love, understands His love, teaches His love as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So when it says Israel, talking about the nation, in verse 3, the house of Aaron, the priesthood, and we all know that the priesthood failed miserably through the history of Israel. Verse 4, oh, let those who fear the Lord say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Now, the word fear, of course, refers to an awe. It's a concept of trust, but it's, it means an awe, just an unbelievable respect and awe of Him. And this includes us. Oh, let those who fear the Lord, not just Israel, not just the Aaronic priesthood, but all, that's us, praise Him and proclaim that His love is everlasting, and don't forget it, even in the darkest hours, we'll see. This includes us in the church age. Now, verse 5. Verse 5, we hear the words of the Messiah. And this is why I think it's just so befitting that this would be something that, it, if not sang by Jesus Christ, if not said by Jesus Christ, it, after they left the upper room, it certainly must have been in His mind. From my distress, this is Jesus Christ, from my distress, I, Jesus Christ, call upon the Lord, God the Father. Now what's distress? That's grief. That's what we studied in John. It's His grief. And what does that refer to? The cross. The cross. In my distress, Jesus Christ is at the cross. I call upon the Lord, my God, why hast thou? All right, my God, the Father, distress, the cross. And then He says, the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. This is so beautiful. The Hebrew refers to a large open space. In other words, freedom. A free space, not confined, but a space of freedom, an open, free area. Therefore, the NIV translation, He answered me by setting me free. And I love that. It's befitting to the Hebrew, and it's a wonderful translation. Free from oppression. Free from His enemies, those who crucified Him. Free from the judgment of sins on the cross. This is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe this is a resurrection of Christ. The Lord answered me, my God, and so the Lord answered Him and set Him in a large place, and that is, set Him free. by the resurrection. So it's just so beautiful if we see it in the wording of Christ. Verse 6. The Lord, God the Father, is for me, Jesus Christ. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now this one is directly quoted, so we must turn to it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. This is one of the most quoted psalms of all the psalms. Not the most, but one of the most of quoted psalms in the New Testament. I forgot. I took a course under Lewis Johnson in seminary, who was a fine Hebrew scholar, even though he was Calvinistic. And it was so cute because nearly every passage he would find hyper-Calvinism, but became sort of a humorous thing with us. But he was brilliant with the Greek, and he taught a course that had not been taught before on the use of the Old Testament in the New Testament, and the various things you have to look for, and I'm so thankful I took that course. It was excellent. Since then, others have done it. Books have been written and all of that. Okay, so let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? So, taking the words of Jesus Christ, and they apply to us. See, this is the thing about the Messiah, Messianic Psalm. And a lot of these Psalms, the statements made by the Messiah, fit us. He's our pattern. So when he says he's not afraid of what man can do to him, we should not be afraid of what man can do to us. And they crucified him, but he's not afraid. They beat him. They put him through trials, unfair trials. He is not afraid of what man can do. So all through the church history, man has hurt and tortured each other, even especially those close, or those who followed Christ. And one reason for this was because they hate Jesus Christ. And this is why we have the new commandment to love one another. So we're not to fear what man can do. The Messiah didn't, and look what they did to him. All right, verse 7. The Lord, God the Father, is for me, Jesus Christ, among those who help me. Now the NIV says, the Lord, God the Father, is with me, Jesus Christ. He, God the Father, by sending the Holy Spirit, is my helper. And that is befitting to the Hebrew. So I like the NIV here. The Lord is with me. He is my helper. Now, how is God the Father the helper of Jesus Christ? By the means of the Holy Spirit. He tells that in Isaiah 60, verse 1. I have sent my Spirit upon him. So, this is what's going on here. It's a beautiful verse. The Lord God the Father is for me. He's for me, Jesus Christ. And by the way, he's for us. If you are in Christ, he is for you. And then it says, for me, or is with me, and he's with us. He, God the Father, is my helper. That is the same principle that we saw in the translation of the Paraclete in John 14, 15, 16, where we saw there, it's translated helper, but that's really a horrible translation. So we just translated Paraclete. So he is my help. How? Through the Holy Spirit. And then it says, I, Jesus Christ, will look in triumph on my enemies. All right, what does this refer to? This refers to the resurrection, where he is victorious over sin and over death. It refers to future victories at Armageddon, the last, at the end of the millennium. So, these are very much messianic terms. So, verse 7. The Lord, God the Father, is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. So he knows that even before he goes to the cross. Just as we can know no matter what it befalls us. We know we can look with confidence on the future. All right. Then it says, look at the next phrase. This is beautiful. Therefore, I shall look with satisfaction on those who hate me. What have we been studying in John 15 and 16? How the world hates him. How the world hates us. So this, if he did, I think it's just right around the same time that he talked with him about John, the Gospel of John 16. The world hates me. Who hates me? Therefore I shall look with satisfaction, meaning I will be victorious, on those who hate me. Not in fear, not in hatred, but in victorious manner. Okay, verse 8. Yes. Sustainer would be great. I love that. Yeah. Yes. I love that. That'd be great. So let's just see how that would flow here. Let's see. The Lord is with me. He is my sustainer. I like that. That's good. That works. Okay. Verse 8, the middle verse of the Bible. And how befitting. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Now, I like the King James here. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, the New American Standard translates with the Lord, refuge, and trust in man. You don't want to do that, it says that. But the King James contrasts trust with confidence. Better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. So it's most befitting that this would be the middle verse of the Bible, for faith is the center of our salvation, spiritual recovery, living the Christian life with Him. Okay, the first thing I want to look at here is the word translated better. Better. It's the Hebrew word tov. I like to write it on a board, but it doesn't serve any purpose. It's T-O-B-H, tov. It's a rich, beautiful word. And it has many meanings. You read different lexicons, you pick up a lot of different things, different nuances. Let's note a couple. One, taken from the standpoint of God, this is the only response by man that is acceptable to God. And acceptable is one of the words better. Translations for better. It is the only response by man that is acceptable to God, well-pleasing to God, another definition of this word. What is proper, another definition of the word. What is proper before God? So it is better, meaning it is the only response that is acceptable by God. It is the only response that is better because it is well-pleasing to God. It is what is proper before God. Now, secondly, let's take a look from the standpoint of man. This is the only response that is profitable for man. The word means profitable. The word better in Hebrew means profitable. So I've just kind of looked at these things from one aspect to the other, God and man. This is the only response that's profitable for man, beneficial to man. So better is okay, but it kind of gives the idea that something else may be all right also. And that's why I'm kind of weak on the word better. What I did, I decided to look, which I do a lot, but I decided to look in the English thesauruses, and they had something that's kind of cool here. They had the word for the word better, winning position. And I like that. Winning position. It is the winning position to take refuge in the Lord. That may not sound very academic, that may not sound very scholarly, but that sounds right where we live. That's where we live. It is the winning position before God. So, betters, you know, you like that, but I think better than better is winning position. And so it is the winning position, and then it says, to take refuge. Okay, this is a simple cal infinitive for what should characterize our lives. The Hebrew word is kasah, and kasah means to take refuge. And I can show you some fun things with this Hebrew word, kasah, to take refuge. Now, often, the Hebrew is picturesque. I told you that. Now, and the word means to take refuge. What if you just look? Here is an enclosure, because this is enclosed. So when you're inside, here you are safe. There's the refuge. And you enter through here, there's the refuge. You enter through this window, there's the refuge. So the Hebrew word kind of speaks to us. And and there are a lot of Hebrew words like this. I have not done in a long time an acrostic with your acrostic hymn, a psalm, where each verse is a different, it begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And that word deals with what that letter indicates. So this word, kasah, means to take refuge or to flee for protection. It's used figuratively, right out of the lexicon, to trust in God. It's used figuratively, and that's what the lexicon says, to trust in God. I'd like for you to take a moment and turn with me to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. A beautiful psalm. Psalm 62:7. I just love the psalms. In times of heaviness, I just open up the psalms. Go into a closet, as it were, and just read the psalms. Alright. Psalm 62:7. O God, my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. And what would that be saying? My faith is in God. So just as to me, it's a beautiful psalm. O God, my salvation, my deliverance, when time of distress, and my glory rest, the rock of my strength, not in myself, not in circumstances, my faith is in God. Okay, let's go back to Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better, it is a winning position, to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Okay, the word Lord is that tetragrammaton again, and it can be used for any members of the Godhead, than to put confidence in man. Now, I hate to take your time, but this psalm is just so beautiful. I spent, and I'm not bragging or complaining, and just more time than I probably ever spent on 1 hour study, 1 hour class. But this just was so rich. But see that word translated than in the Hebrew, that is so important. If you're speed reading, you read right by it. But it's so beautiful. It's a preposition, and it is used here to indicate from out of. Now, so let's see what we can do. It is the winning position out from the options that are given. See how what the word than means? That faith in Him, that's the winning position out from all the other options, namely putting your confidence in man. So this is so beautiful. And I wish we had time to develop that in points, but we just have to move on. But I just want you to appreciate the van. Okay. It is the winning position out of the option of putting confidence in man. Now, the word for confidence is the word batach. B-A-T-A-C-H. It means to trust, faith, confidence. It is an opposition to refuge, showing that refuge is the same as faith. Confidence. Faith in man. Adam, mankind. And you know who that includes? That includes ourselves. That includes putting confidence in yourself. I'll get myself out of this. I'll rise above all of this. I tell you one of the things. I hated the song when he made it popular, and now I hate it when they have it in anything. I did it my way. What was her name? They had her on the Parade magazine this last Sunday, Sonny and Cher. And she, I did it my way. And I just, I don't even want to read the article. It was sickening. See? And this is what people think. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it his way, people. I want to do it his way. And that's the winning way. That's the only way that's going to give glory to him. So this word now, to take confidence in man, and the word man refers to any of us, reverse to self. Most people have faith in what they can do. They can have confidence in their list of do and do, rule and rule, confident that they can do a wonderful job before God. How we deceive ourselves. It is the winning position to take refuge in the Lord, then by going to the option of taking confidence in man, trusting in others ourselves. Verse 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Exact same construction as verse 8, except for the last word. Instead of Adam, here we have the word princes. The word princes refers to those of noble birth. It refers to those of charismatic personality. It is amazing how many people put confidence in people to help them and lead them. Muhammad over Jesus Christ, the Islamic over Christianity. Yeah, he wrote. Some great person. Mary Baker Eddy over Jesus Christ and the Christian Science over Christianity. Joseph Smith over Jesus Christ, Mormonism over Christianity. Charles Taze Russell over Jesus Christ, Jehovah's Witness over Christianity, and multitudes of others. And then there are many people in the Christian camp, great Bible teachers, great charismatic people, great leaders like Joel Osteen, all this, putting your confidence in man rather than putting your faith in him. Okay, let's look at verse 10. All nations surround me, the Messiah. In the name of the Lord God the Father, I will surely cut them off. That is, at the second advent, at the end of the millennium, I will be victorious. The word cut off is victorious. Verse 11, they surround me at the cross. Second advent, yes, they surround me. Yet they surround me, the cross. Yes, they surround me. Second advent, in the name of the Lord God the Father, I will surely cut them off. I will be victorious over them at the cross, at the second advent, at the end of the millennium. Verse 12, they surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord God the Father, I will surely cut them off, be victorious. Verse 13, you, Satan is arch enemy, pushed me violently so that I was falling. Picture of the cross. How beautiful. Picture of the cross. Picture of us in our lives. But it's a picture of the cross here. But the Lord God the Father sustained me. You like that? I like that. Sustained me by the Holy Spirit. Verse 14. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my deliverance. This is a beautiful verse in the Bible, a great cause of thanksgiving. Man is not your strength. Man is not your song. Success is not your strength. Success is not your song or your happiness. God is, and His love. When you think you have nothing to sing about, you can sing to Him. You can sing of Him. Verse 15. The sound of joyful shouting of salvation is in the tents of the righteous. Now, if we're seeing this as Christ, this is the day of the celebration, the Feast of the Tabernacles, when all the Jews come back to Israel every year. Well, this is at the second advent. All the Jews will return in tabernacles. So look what it says. And the sound of joyful shouting after the second advent and deliverance is in the tents of the righteous. All the Jews who were not taken out by the baptism of the fire at the second advent, these are born again believers, so these are the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does violently. The right hand of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Verse 16, I shall not die, but live. Resurrection. I shall not die, but live. Resurrection. And tell the works of the Lord, God the Father, referring to Jesus Christ. Reflecting the glory of God the Father when referring to the believer, proclaiming all that God has done and is doing in our lives. Verse 18, the Lord has disciplined me severely. What's that? It's a cross. But he has not given me over to death. Resurrection. Verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. What is that? That's the ascension of Jesus Christ. He is the righteous one. 1 John 1:2. He is the righteous one. He goes into heaven. He's the first human to enter into the throne of God. So open the gates of righteousness, the entrance into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father. It's His righteousness that causes Him to do this. So this refers to the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Father, the Lord, God the Father. He will give thanks to the Father. So if Jesus Christ gives thanks, how much more should we? How much more should we give thanks? Verse 20. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. All who believe in Him shall... Or this is the gate the righteous shall enter. Who are the righteous? All those who have believed in Him and enter into the eternal state. This is another one of the verses of Psalm 118 referred to in the New Testament. Let me read for you Revelation 21:27. And nothing unclean... And no one who practices abomination and lying shall enter into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then you can read Revelation 22:14-15, Jesus Christ entering into these precious gates. Verse 21, I shall give thanks to thee. Why? For thou hast answered me. Resurrection. Victory over his enemies. Entering into the throne of God. Seated at the right hand of God the Father. Thou hast answered me. Okay, so this is all the things that he will do for him. And thou hast become my deliverance. My salvation or my deliverance. Verse 22. Here's one of those beautiful verses that we've all know about. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. How you can reject and deny that this is messianic is beyond me. But they do. But to me, this whole psalm just flows with Jesus Christ, our Savior. The stone, Jesus Christ, which the builders, Israel, rejected, has become the chief cornerstone. This, of course, refers to the Messiah. This is another verse quoted in the New Testament. Please look with me at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 7. This precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone, Jesus Christ, which the builders rejected, the nation of Israel, this became the very cornerstone. Verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. The word is the gospel call. How are we disobedient to the gospel call? No faith. That's how we're disobedient. And to this doom they were also appointed. Okay, let's go back to Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Salvation is not a mere happening, people. Salvation is a person. Jesus Christ does not provide salvation. He is salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation is not something to be attained by religious service of do and do. But salvation is the person of Jesus Christ by faith in Him. Verse 23. This is the Lord's doing. This is God's, the Father's doing. And it is marvelous in my eyes. And another for which we should give thanks, by the way. Another we should give thanks. Verse 24. Another verse often quoted. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Give thanks. No matter what the day brings, He is in control, and the day of glory, the day of victory, is soon there. So when He says this is the day, He's talking about the day of the resurrection, the day of ascension session at the right hand of God the Father, the day of glory. This is the day of glory which the Lord has made. So He's made every day of our life. There may be horrible things that go on in that day, just like the day of the crucifixion. That day was not a great day, but it's the day the Lord has made, getting ready for glory. So you always have to remember that idea. Now, I hate the translation of the last word in verse 25. And boy, when I show you why, you'll love it. O Lord, God the Father, by Jesus Christ, do save, deliver. We beseech Thee, O Lord. We beseech Thee, do send prosperity. Now, this is a great prayer, if we correctly understand the last word. Now, actually, this is two prayers, maybe the same prayer, but two statements of prayer. So we have two prayers. See that word beseech? It's twice. And it's twice in the Hebrew. So we have two prayers here. Now, we beseech Thee, instead of we pray to Thee, we beseech Thee. This is a particle of entreaty. It is stronger than just saying, I pray to Thee. The primary use of the Hebrew word here is to intensify the urgency of the request, the gravity of the situation. And this is the situation here. I don't know if you've ever had to pray fervently. I have. But when you pray fervently, not while you're driving a car, not while you're sitting there waiting to eat, not while others are around, but you go in private and pray fervently. That's the ideal of beseeching here. This word is used to intensify the urgency of the request, the gravity of the situation. And when you see what they're beckoning, you'll love it. O Lord, God the Father, do save out of this situation. We beseech Thee. O Lord, we beseech Thee, do send prosperity. Okay. Now, O Lord, do save or deliver, we beseech Thee, hour of need. It's the hithil, because to save or to deliver, out of your own character, out of your own being. If this is the hymn of Jesus Christ after the upper room, this would be the prayer of the disciples after Jesus Christ told them all the horrible things that was about to befall them. O Lord, God the Father, we beseech Thee in our hour of need, do send prosperity. Now there's no nice verb to send here. Forget it. This is intense. You don't have nice, correct sentences with your subject, verb, and object here. There is no verb here. This is an intense prayer. So look at it this way. O Lord, God the Father, O Lord, we beseech thee now prosperity. And the Hebrew word salach, S-A-L-A-C-H, this is an urgent cry for the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? Send the Holy Spirit. How do I get that? Look with me at Judges. Judges. The Holy Spirit is the prosperity. That's the prosperity, the Holy Spirit. It's our prosperity, people. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are our prosperity. All right, Judges 14, look with me at verse 6. This is powerful. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, of the Lord, God the Father, came upon him, Samson, mightily. Mightily. That's prosperity. That's our word. This is our word translated prosperity. Mightily. Now, if you understand the work of the Holy Spirit here, mightily, true prosperity. So that he, Samson, tore him the lion as one tears a kid, though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Now, if you've got your Bibles open to that, look at what he does do, though. He goes to a woman, the next verse. He doesn't tell his mom and dad, but in the next verse, he goes to a woman. Just thought I'd throw that in so you'd see it. But anyway, what I want you to see is, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. Look at Judges 15, verse 14. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him, Samson, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. It's our word, prosperous. Mightily. So that the ropes were on his arms were as flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands. So when you recall our study that Samson is a type of Christ, how beautiful. How beautiful. All of this just blends. First Samuel chapter 16 verse 13. Let me read it for you. First Samuel 16:13. For the sake of time, let me read it. Then Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him David in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David. That's the word prosperity. It refers to the work of the Holy Spirit. Now back to Psalm 118:25. O Lord, do deliver, we beseech thee. O Lord, we beseech thee now, mightily. In other words, now, the Holy Spirit. The Hebrew word to prosper means here to be victorious, mighty. And if you know that the great prosperity, our great prosperity is the Holy Spirit, then prosperity is okay. But boy, you really got to know that in order to translate it that way. All right. We give thanks for the mighty work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 26. Another verse quoted in several passages in the New Testament. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This most definitely refers to the Messiah. We know that from Matthew 21. I'm just going to give you the passages. Matthew 21:9. Mark 11:9, Luke 13:35, where it refers to the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ, the Gospel of John 12:13, where he came in on a donkey and they held him as king, but you recall they rejected him as a suffering servant, but they wanted him as their king. All right, verse 27 in Psalm 118. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. He has given us light. And what's the light? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. So that's how he's good. The Lord is good. How he gave us the light. But I'm sorry? The Lord is God. All right. Yes, that's right. The Lord is God. That's God the Father. He has given us light. I've jumped ahead. It's going to come up to good. He's given us light. Jesus Christ. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Jesus Christ on the cross. From the picture of the Old Testament sacrifices. Bind on the horns of the altar. Picture of Christ on the cross. Thou art my God, and I give thanks to thee. Thou art my God, I extol thee. Should be our motto in our life. Give thanks to the Lord God the Father, for he is good, for his love is everlasting. So, give thanks to the Lord God the Father, for he is good. Give thanks to God the Father. He gave us His Son. He gave us His Spirit. Give thanks to God the Father. His love is everlasting. Now let's just read through in closing this great Psalm 118. One more time. Just read it through. I'll try not to make any editorial remarks. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His love is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say, His love is everlasting. Oh, let the house of Aaron say, His love is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say, His love is everlasting. From my distress, I called upon the Lord God the Father. The Lord answered me and set me in an open, free place. Resurrection. The Lord is with me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. Among those who, He is with me, and He helps me, it sustains me. Therefore, I shall look with satisfaction, victoriously, on those who hate me. It is the winning position to take refuge in the Lord, rather than the option to trusting in man. It is the winning position to take refuge in the Lord, to trust Him, than to trust in princes. All nations surround me. In the name of the Lord I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling. The cross, you Satan. But the Father helped me, sustained me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my deliverance. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does violently. The right hand of the Lord is exalted, Jesus Christ. The right hand of the Lord does violently, Jesus Christ. I shall not die but live, resurrection, and tell the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, the cross. But He has not given me over to death, resurrection. Open to me the gates of righteousness, ascension and session of Christ. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the righteous. We'll enter through it. I shall give thanks to Thee, for Thou hast answered me, and Thou hast become my deliverance. The stone which the builders rejected, He became the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord, O Lord, do save. We beseech Thee. O Lord, we beseech Thee. Now, victory or mighty, the Holy Spirit. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and He has given us light, Jesus Christ. Bind the festival of sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, I give thanks to Thee. Thou art my God, I extol Thee. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love is everlasting. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, at this season we are particularly mindful of Thanksgiving. We have, Heavenly Father, so many reasons to give thanks to you, we would never run out. We can start at the breaking of dawn in the morning and go to dusk tomorrow night, thanking you for all that you have done, for all that you're doing, and for all that you will do, for all that you are, for your Son, for your Spirit, for your love, for your goodness. We praise you, Father, this season and every day of our lives. We praise you. We give thanksgiving to you. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.